From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The primary numbers are in, and we have a runoff for the Sacramento mayor's race. It'll be community activist and epidemiologist Dr. Flojan Kofer taking on state assembly member Kevin McCarty. Kofer is new to politics. She has never held elected office before. Kevin McCarty is a veteran of state and city politics, having served on the Sacramento City Council for three terms, followed by the last decade in the state assembly. Now, the two will take the next 6 months or so to amplify their visions as to how they want to move the city forward following Mayor Daryl Steinberg's tenure. We invited both Dr. Kofer and Assemblymember McCarty on today to talk about the primary race, what they learned, and what they will do in the coming months to connect with the community about their policy ideas and priorities. First, we welcome Dr. Kofer, who joins us on Zoom. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Well, Dr. Kofer, you are a political first timer and you beat a field of candidates with experience in elected office in the primary. You took the largest share of the votes, 29%. What was it, do you think, about your message that you think resonated most with Sacramento?
I think a lot of Sacramentans are frustrated by what they have seen, but also have a significant amount of optimism and hope about what we can do. And so I think that message of there is a vision and a path forward for all of us to be able to thrive here, and that we actually can come together. And in many instances, even if we don't always agree on how to get to the outcome, we are in really high alignment on the outcomes. And so there's a way that we can build some bridges between some of those gaps that have previously existed to be able to better serve our community. And I think, unfortunately, our housing and homelessness crisis has made a lot of us very desperate to see something different and desirous to be able to set aside what may have in the past been barriers to working together to really see some real solutions.
And we'll dive into those pressing issues in just a moment. I know that when you campaigned and you obviously ran for the Sacramento mayor's race, you believed in yourself. You have a campaign that believes in you, too. But were you surprised at how the results came in over, you know, one Tuesday to one Friday to one week to the next, and that you landed at the top?
Well, in some ways, yes. I mean, I was really surprised that at the beginning of election night, when the first results came back in, we were only, you know, 1,000 votes or so behind the top vote getter at the time. We were expecting to have a bigger deficit. And part of that was because we knew how much get out the vote energy we had put in and just how many people were waiting until election day, like myself, to be able to submit those ballots. And I think part of that is because there's a lot of us who just like the pomp and circumstance of election day, who really want to make sure we do our research and have, you know, time and opportunity to be able to vote. And so I think that speaks to the ways in which, you know, voters are looking at elections, taking their time, really wanting to make sure that they're making good choices. And so once we saw that on election night, though, while everyone else was like, uh-oh, we're in fourth, we were like, whoa, we are way further ahead than we anticipated. So this is really exciting. And we were just gaining votes. And we knew the amount of outreach that we had done on college campuses and to young people and, you know, that relational organizing that we know works. And so we were really excited to be able to see the fruits of that labor and that people were resonating with our message and reaching out to their families and friends and saying, we really want to get on board because not only do we want to elect this candidate, but we want to govern together. And I think that's the message for new leadership in Sacramento that resonated with voters.
I also think it can be interesting when you break it down to precincts and to neighborhood in the city of Sacramento. And there is that analysis. I was looking for one example, a Sacramento Bee article that did a very good job at breaking down not only the precincts, but the income levels. And you did very well when it came to lower and middle income areas of Sacramento. I mean, I think about areas like South Sacramento, Oak Park, Tahoe Park, Del Paso Heights, and downtown. Why do you think you resonated with these voters?
I think because we were talking to the issues that matter most to them, and we were talking about their fears and their concerns and building trust and amplifying voices. And those things really matter. And so, you know, I loved the fact that the Bee highlighted, you know, where we disproportionately got support, because we also got support from the middle and upper income areas as well, right? We won, you know, well over 100 precincts. And so that was really exciting to be able to see. But especially important to me is that the people whose voices need to be at the table, the people who are most what we call proximate to issues, who are, you know, often struggling to be able to, and or worried about being able to continue to afford their rents, are wanting to be able to have a future in this region, who have expressed some concerns about whether or not the direction we're going in is going to lead to that, have said, you're our candidate and we want to build this with you. And that's really exciting for us.
You have been called a progressive politically. Do you own that? Would you agree with that?
Yes, I believe in progress. I want today to be better than yesterday and tomorrow to be better than today. And so I think at the, you know, I always think about root words, and we want progress. We want answers and solutions. And as a public health professional, that is something that is really important to me as a core value. I think about this generationally, you know, we all belong to families, and each family, we want the next generation to do better than the previous one. We want the next day to be better than the previous one. And we want the next iteration of this city to be better than the previous one. And that doesn't take anything away from what's already been done, but it says that we are constantly looking at doing continuous quality improvement and making things better and learning from our past mistakes. And that is the privilege that we have every day when we wake up, is to learn from what didn't work before and to have new ideas to be able to put in place. And I'm excited about being a part of that with 500,000 people in Sacramento.
When you look at someone like Sacramento City Council member Katie Valenzuela, who is progressive as well, and I believe Council Member Valenzuela did endorse you, correct?
She did, yes. You know,
but ultimately, she lost her seat in the primary to Phil Pluckybaum. We had a conversation with the both of them last week. Does that signal to you, I know it's just a council district, I understand that, and you're running a city race, but does that signal to you that there may be some challenges when it comes to a progressive candidate may have a tougher time in the general election?
To me, it doesn't, especially when I look at how well I did in East Sacramento as well, and in the downtown area. I think what it shows, you know, is the power of redistricting and how, you know, changing and you know, where people are concerned about things. I mean, when we look at, you know, the voter turnout in the various districts, they are different. And so, you know, there is a different hurdle and a different battle, but also general elections tend to bring out more voters. They tend to have, you know, a higher, you know, profile and visibility. And so I actually think a lot of people in Sacramento want change and want there to be progress moving forward. And I think sometimes the geographic boundaries, you know, especially when it comes to our city council districts, sometimes can obscure what's happening overall in the city, which is why I think the mayor's race is so incredibly important, because it's the only at-large seat in the entire city. So you really get to capture what the sentiment of Sacramento is, and not neighborhood by neighborhood or region by region.
When you look at the vote breakdown, as I mentioned, you led the primary with 29% of the vote. Kevin McCarty received 21% of the vote, but overall you received just over 30,000 votes of, you know, more than 100,000 Sacramentans in the city who voted for the primary. You also have the two other rivals in the race who are not advancing to the runoff. They received a good chunk of the votes as well. Former State Senator Richard Pan received, you know, 22,000 votes. Former city council member Steve Hansen received, you know, 21,000 votes. How will you try to attract those voters who voted for Pan and Hansen?
Yeah, well, I have a lot in common with both of them in many respects. And I think that's why, as we were kind of drilling down, and we don't have ranked choice voting here in Sacramento, but when we were having conversations about, you know, people sharing with us like who their first, second, and third choices were, there were a lot of people. I was their second choice after some of the names that they'd known. Relationships matter, you know, and I knew that there was an uphill battle because everybody I was running against had been previously elected, which means there were people who have already invested time, energy, money in helping them along in their careers. And they have been, they're all older than I am, and they've been in this region for a long time and have those relationships. And that goes a long way, and that is important, and I want to respect that. But, you know, Dr. Pan and I are both public health professionals from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And so there were a lot of people, you know, who I think can find, you know, someone else who shares some values, especially as it relates to that in my candidacy. You know, Steve Hansen and I, there's no sunlight whatsoever between us when it comes to some of the transportation and environmental issues. And so, you know, I worked with him when I was on the Active Transportation Commission and really enjoyed that. We've also, you know, had some work developing some proposals for ballot initiatives that didn't end up moving forward because Measure U did. And so, again, I think that there's, you know, a lot that people can look to. And similar to, you know, his candidacy would be the first, you know, a queer mayor, a gay mayor in Sacramento, you know, I would be the first Black woman. And so I think that there are people who are interested in seeing the face of leadership change who will find a nice home in my campaign as well. So I think there are lots of both topical as well as representational politics that a lot of people are going to be able to look and say, okay, my first choice maybe didn't make it, the person I've known the longest, but I am now interested in thinking about Sacramento and what I want to see. And we are welcoming those people to find a home on Team Flow.
Well, when it comes to the November runoff, you and Assembly Member McCarty need to have some sunlight between the two of you because voters need to make a decision. Can you pinpoint an issue or two where you differ from Assemblymember McCarty?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the places that we differ is, of course, on budgets. I am, as the Sacramento Bee described me, you know, socially progressive, but also fiscally conservative in terms of I work very hard for my money. And I know especially the low income taxpayers in Sacramento don't have a lot. And so when they're contributing it, they want it to be spent efficiently and want it to be spent well. And that's something that my keen eye for budgets is going to come in handy, especially as we're facing deficits and having to make difficult decisions about both how to increase revenue as well as how to reduce spending in some ways. And so I think that's one difference. You know, I'm looking and being able to say, I'm not going to promise you that we're going to add positions to our city when we, you know, have a deficit. That just doesn't make sense. And I think another place is vision. I have executive leadership experience, not as an elected, but as running an organization, being able to hold staff accountable to goals, being able to set goals for an organization and for staff members. And if we look at some of the things that have happened, especially in the city, one of the key things that we have been missing are performance goals for our city manager, performance goals for the staff that our city council is responsible for overseeing. And I have, you know, overseen staff in collaboration with others, and that's a very important thing and a particular skill set that comes not just from campaigning and for running, you know, running and holding elected office, but actually from having that executive leadership experience. And I think we need that in the city of Sacramento. And then thinking about how systems work and having a vision for how you can bring things together and make them work more efficiently. And so I think those are the big differences between me and Assemblymember McCarty.
In the last 30 seconds that we have, Mayor Steinberg has yet to make an endorsement. Do you want it?
You know, this is really interesting. From what I've heard, Mayor Steinberg is planning to stay out of this race. And so I certainly respect it. I mean, I know he has relationships with both of us. We welcome everybody to join Team Flow, and that would include Mayor Steinberg. I just believe in a continuity of leadership. And I think, you know, in terms of being able to address some of the concerns and some of the priorities that he has shared, I think I'm the best candidate to be able to, you know, carry on that legacy and carry the baton and the torch forward. And so, come on, Mayor Steinberg, join Team Flow. My mom even gave him a hard sell back in February. So,
well, Dr. Flo Kofer, I know this is the first of many conversations as we head to November. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. We're going to take a brief music intermission. We'll be back in about 30 seconds or so. And welcome back. We're going to continue our conversation with the candidates for Sacramento mayor, with State Assembly member and former Sac City Council member Kevin McCarty. Assembly Member McCarty, welcome. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Good to see you here.
Well, I want to talk about the race now that we've had about, you know, a month or so, 4 weeks and change looking at the primary. And at times, it really was this nail-biting race. The difference in votes between the top four candidates, it really kind of flip-flopped and shape-shifted over the primary. What do you think that signals to you?
Well, it was a little dramatic, and it was up and down like a roller coaster. And I had people calling and texting me all the time, hang in there. You know, I went from third to fourth, you know, back to third, back to second place, and so all the way till the end. So it was a nail biter. And, you know, I think the voters had four choices, four legitimate good choices. But I kind of feel like, too, we just finished March Madness, right? And so you try to win a match to get to the next game. And so that's what we try to do. And so now we're going ahead to the finals.
Dr. Kofer led you by close to 8,000 votes. What do you think your biggest challenge will be with about 6 months until the November general?
Well, we feel that we are in a very good position. You know, the voters had choices, and they liked all of us. I talked to, you know, hundreds, if not a thousand voters in the last 9 months of the campaign, many at the door, and they were evaluating. They liked, you know, the newness of Dr. Kofer. They liked the experience of myself and Pan and Hansen, and they were evaluating our leadership and our ideas. And we feel that we're in a great spot, you know, talking about the work that I've done, you know, my vision, my values, but really somebody that's proven that can get stuff done. Because at the end of the day, you know, people campaign on words, but the job is about reality and rolling up your sleeve and making stuff happen. And so that's what I'm confident that I'll be able to get in front of the voters before November.
The big difference between Dr. Kofer and the top four candidates, including yourself, is this is her first time running for elected office, and she took the largest share of votes. You have a long tenure in elected office. What message do you get from voters about that?
Well, you know, she ran a great campaign, and I think that she's a dynamic leader, and we're not taking her for granted. I think she's done great work, and I'm looking forward to going to forums with her, and we've already talked about it. It was a unique campaign. There were four choices, people running legitimate campaigns. I will note that I'm the only one that had $1 million of people attacking me with, you know, frankly, lies and, you know, literally trying to rip my limbs off. So we're lucky that we survived this campaign. So I had to focus on, you know, responding to these attacks. Again, $1 million campaigning against me with negative independent expenditures, and nobody else had any of that. So I think that had a factor, but we're ready to regroup for round two and move forward.
I also talked to Dr. Kofer about this just a few minutes ago, about the political math, because you know, Steve Hansen and Dr. Richard Pan, they also got a good chunk of votes as well, and they are not advancing to the November runoff. How do you appeal to those voters who voted for those two, hopefully so you would get those votes for the November general?
We think we're in a good spot. When I talked to many of these voters at the door, you know, they were choosing brands of dark soda like Coke, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper. So there wasn't a lot of difference in our experience, leadership, and values. And so we think round two that they value somebody who knows how to get stuff done, somebody who knows how to work with council members, has endorsements from supervisors, council members, legislators, somebody who can actually achieve results. Because we have a lot of problems in Sacramento with housing and homelessness and public safety and mental health and addiction. And the voters don't want empty promises. They want somebody who can actually make improvements in our community and in our neighborhoods. And I feel that, you know, my vision experience will be able to relate to the electorate when they vote in November.
When you look at the city as a whole, I mean, that is an important snapshot when you look at the percentage of votes that went to each candidate. But it's also helpful to look down at the precinct level as well. How does that help you in your campaign strategize for November?
Well, I've been on a lot of ballots over the years, so I've analyzed all those precincts from Natomas to the Pocket, ESAC, in between. So we actually did very well. We were a lot of times the winner or the number two candidate. So we think that there's tremendous amount of upside there. So, you know, there's certain areas which I've represented before, which we did very well. And there are a couple areas that I haven't had the opportunity to represent before that we did okay, but we have to go back. But, you know, it's a big city. You know, there are 100,000 people roughly who voted in the primary. There'll be, you know, maybe 125-ish, 150 in the general election. That's a lot of people, a lot of doors to knock on, and we'll be out there talking to all of them.
When I asked Dr. Kofer if she was considered progressive, she said yes in her political views. Would you consider yourself moderate, or where do you fall on the spectrum?
I don't like these labels, but I will say in the legislature, I'm a member of the Progressive Caucus. So I consider myself a progressive. I'm a Democrat. I'm a center-left candidate, and I think the city of Sacramento is center-left. So I think I fit in line with my values, you know, my vision and fighting for neighborhoods and people without a voice and, you know, standing up for kind of core values. But also, I think people realize that I can work with everybody. You know, I've been working, you know, currently with our district attorney on retail theft reform and Prop 47 issues, even though I haven't been aligned with him on certain issues. So I'm somebody that can work with everybody. But yeah, I am a progressive Democrat, and that's where I've been my entire life.
Can you pinpoint an issue or two, because voters will need to make a decision between the two of you come November, where there is, and I said this to Dr. Cofer as well, where there's sunlight between the two of you? What differentiates you from your opponent?
I think at the end of the day, the voters are going to look at experience, somebody who can get the job done. Because campaigning is about words and promises. And they're going to be like, okay, you know, McCarty has done a lot on, you know, affordable housing and homelessness and mental health and youth programs and gun violence and police accountability. So I've checked lots of boxes to get things done. You know, I think a lot of our views are similar, Dr. Cofer and I. And, you know, there's some differences on, you know, homelessness and enforcement of camping and some of our ideas about where some of these safe ground sites should be or shouldn't be. So, you know, we'll have plenty of months to go into that, 6 or so months before people get their ballots. But I think at the end of the day, you know, I'm very confident that voters appreciate somebody that they can count on to actually get the job done.
Given that you are a veteran politician, you have extensive experience at the city level as well as at the state level in the legislature. What do you tell a voter who may be tired of what they call, and I know you don't like labels, establishment politics, and they're looking for someone with a fresh perspective and new ideas?
Well, I think I do have fresh because I haven't been at City Hall for 10 years, and I'm frustrated, too. You know, when I left city council in 2014, homelessness was not even an issue on the radar screen. You know, we barely talked about it. We had no city budget for it. And so, you know, it's quadrupled since I left the city council, the number of homelessness in the city and the state of California. And I've worked really hard to drive more money to local government to address this. And I have been frustrated by the response. I think too often local governments look for the perfect solution. So we let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And so I share these frustrations and, you know, I'm not a status quo. So I'm going to be going in there and looking to shake things up, but bring about real results at a more rapid pace. And I think most importantly, I have relationships and endorsements from council members and supervisors and legislative leaders who will partner with me. Because at the end of the day, we are all in this together. It's not just the mayor can just go in there and flex and do this by themselves. We need to work with others to achieve results.
Finally, on that note of the mayor, Mayor Del Steinberg has not made an endorsement. It's unclear if he will make one, but would you like his endorsement?
Sure, I would like the mayor's endorsement. I followed him in the city council. I followed him in the legislature. He knew many of us in the primary. He chose to stay out. And I'm talking to him on a regular basis, and stay tuned. We'll have some exciting news in the near future.
Well, Assemblymember McCarty, I look forward to having you back on as, you know, before we know it, November's going to be here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And that is State Assemblymember Kevin McCarty, who is running for Sacramento mayor. Both he and epidemiologist Dr. Flojean Cofer will be on the ticket for the November runoff. Still ahead, Stockton Metropolitan Airport is more than 60 years old and in many ways can still feel that way, but that is going to change. They're going to join us on the heels of getting a big green light for transformative upgrades the airport hasn't seen in decades. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.